The first time I saw my wife, or I should say I saw the woman that was going to be my wife, and I was going into buy flowers. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, it's too long, but I was going into a flower shop, and it was one, the door was locked, so you had to push the buzzer, and then they would buzz you back in. And I pushed the buzzer, and I saw this face come up and look at me and smile, and I couldn't take my finger off the buzzer. So I'm pushing to come in, she's pushing to let me in, you know, and we're just standing there, and I went in, and I looked at her, and I couldn't speak. No, I'm serious. I could not speak. My mouth was moving, but nothing was coming out. And then even though I wasn't born again, and I started speaking in other tongues. Sorry, Maureen, I have it in my pocket. It was like I couldn't say anything. And that's the way it is when we talk about Jesus and when we really start thinking about everything that he has done and is doing. You know, it's better than Peter Paul Almond Joy, they say it's indescribably delicious. You know, it's better than that, because you just think about all he's done. And sometimes it gets so good you just can't articulate it. You just can't. So that's why I guess God gave me the message, Highly Unspeakable Gift. Would you turn me to John 3? Because we always start at John 3. We're going to read 16 and 17 together. Then I'll probably come back to it in a little bit. Just say amen when you get there for me, please. Or as you say, if you're not there yet, say wait a minute. Everyone is there?
Yeah.
Let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Would you turn over quickly, please, to John 13? And you can follow along. I'm going to read verse 34 and 35, but I'm going to read it out of the Message translation, because this says it a little differently. It says, let me give you a new command. Love one another. In the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. Amen. Amen. How many of you expect to receive gifts in the next few days? Honestly. I saw the children's hand. Tell me why you expect to receive them. Yeah, you didn't notice it was going to be interactive this morning, huh? You're loved by your loved one, okay. It's a tradition, okay. It's an obligation, okay. That's a new one. Let me ask you this question. How many of you done something out of the ordinary to deserve them? Oh, excuse me, I have to lay hands on someone up here. You know, do you just take what someone gives to you, or do you drop hints? You know? Do you go, excuse me a minute, iPhone? Okay. I mean that. Or you sing that song. Folks, you have to understand, this is the way I am. I'm going to have a good time doing everything. And God knows that, and he gives me things to say. And I'm like, Lord, he's like, hey, that's who you are. But he said, he also said, you say, gift card. Okay. Now, I don't have a singing voice, but this is what he gave me. I'm dreaming of a new flat screen. Like Walmart has today on sale. With three pair of goggles, surround sound speakers to hear anywhere in the house. See, we do these things because it's what we want. And see, we say we appreciate the gift. But if that were so, why is December 26th in the stores more crowded than any other day? Because folks are returning the gift because, for whatever reason, they thought it wasn't good enough for them. It's not something that they wanted. Too many times we treat the unspeakable gift the same way. You know, because how many of you know that Jesus doesn't always agree with what we think we should be doing? Okay. And so some of us, we will, you know, just, he says, go over here. And you're like, I don't like it over there. And we'll go over here and say, see, now this is nice. This is comfortable. And we actually have the nerve to thank him for it. Okay. We in rebellion, we're like, thank you, Lord. Okay. But we need to understand, see, a true gift is not given because of something you did to earn it. Gifts are given because someone cared for you or cares about you. And that care, that love they have was so great, they just had to do something. That's all they just had to do. My wife and I, we very rarely, quote unquote, exchange gifts during this time of the year. Something scheduled can pop up with us anytime. Anytime. And believe it or not, she doesn't want me to go to Zales and empty the account and get a big ring or whatever. She's happy if the Holy Ghost says to me, stop by this place and bring some ribs home. And I'll do that, and she'll say, I was just thinking about that. I mean, she enjoys that much better. And I tried once, because I remember, I hear all the things that you know, quote unquote, they, whoever they are, say concerning husbands. I'm like, that's not how I am. I remember things. So if we're in the store, we're going to the store because my wife wants a purse. We look at blouses, shoes, hats, you know, everything else. I've learned how to handle that. And she'll look at something, try it on, and I think it looks good on her. And she'll say, oh, that looks nice. I said, well, honey, go get it. Get it. No, I'm not going to get it now. Well, so I keep a mental note of that. And so one time, I was just thinking about our marriage and relationship. I said, I need to do something. And so I went by. I remembered that I went by the store, and I bought that outfit. And I come in, I had them wrap it all nice. And she opened it, and she looked at it and said, oh, thank you. I really appreciate you getting that. And I said, is something wrong? You don't act like you really, you know. She said, no, I wasn't going to buy it. I said, oh, I apologize. You said you liked it. She said, yeah, I do, but not for me. So I learned gift card. But I just felt like doing something nice for her just from just thinking about our relationship. Well, last night I spent quite a bit of time just thinking about John 3:16, the beginning of it. For God so loved the world that he gave. God has so much love for mankind, even after man sinned. He had so much love for mankind, even though mankind turned this recreated world over to the devil in the garden. He had so much love that he said, I just have to give something to them. And God being God, he's only going to give what he thinks is going to be the absolute best. And see, when you have that kind of love, you have to do something. I mean, you have to act. You can't just walk around with it and do nothing, because it's like a burning desire in you. And God said, okay, I have to give. I have to give. And I looked up the word give, and there are a whole lot of meanings for give. But the most common meaning is to present voluntarily and without expecting compensation. This is not like we do with Christmas cards. You know, we send a Christmas card, and some folks, you don't send one back, you don't get another one the next year. Okay. I was like, I didn't know this was an exchange program. You know. But in the concordance, and this one really got me to thinking, when you look up the word give in the concordance, one of the meanings is to give what is due or obligatory. And I said, wait a minute now. God so loved the world that he felt an obligation to give the world what he felt the world needed, a savior. He loved us so much, he had this obligation. He said, not just any savior would do. He would have to give the world the absolute best, and there was only one way he could do it. Look at John 1, please. And I'm going to share this out of the Amplified Bible. And I apologize, but I'd have been using a lot of different translations because they all say it differently. And anytime he gives me a scripture, I read it in every single translation that I can find online. And then I ask him, okay, which one do you want me to use? And I'll be honest, I'm happy after the third one. He says, that one. I say, oh, good. I don't have to read all the rest. Okay. But it says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. So when we talk about God giving and giving the absolute best, what he did was give the world himself. I mean, think about that. The creator of the universe. I need you to just close your eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes. Now open your eyes and look around. Everything that you see was created from what you saw when you closed your eyes. That's the type of God we're talking about. Okay. And he said, this world deserves me. And I'm going to send it to him. So he wanted to give such a great gift that he wrapped himself in flesh and came. Matthew 1 says, now, and there's always a purpose. Matthew 1, verse 18 to 23, I'm going to share that out of the Phillips translation. It says, the birth of Jesus Christ happened like this. When Mary was engaged to Joseph, just before their marriage, she was discovered to be pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Whereupon Joseph, a future husband who was a good man, I think he was a great man myself. No, I'm serious. Because you just before you're ready to get married, your fiance comes to you and say, honey, I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. You do a Bill Cosby, right? Okay. Okay. But he was a good man, and he did not want to see her disgraced and planned to break off the engagement quietly. See, what we don't understand is that he could have, if he said the word, they would have stoned her to death. But he wasn't going to allow that to happen. Why? He loved her. And you could tell the whole thing was bothering him, because it said, while he was turning the matter over in his mind, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, what she has conceived is conceived through the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son whom you will call Jesus, the Savior. For it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now this all happened to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. I used to have a problem with that. I said, I thought his name was Jesus, you know, and then when I understood what he was saying, because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So when it said, name him God with us, and Jesus is God himself, that's exactly what happened. When Jesus came, when his presence appeared on this earth, he was with us every moment after that. And he's never going to leave us. Never. So that was the perfect name. Let's look at it from Mary's perspective in Luke 1. This is the Amplified Bible. I like what he says at the end of the Amplified version. Now in the sixth month after that, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a girl never having been married and a virgin, engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Hail, O favored one, endued with grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God are you before all other women. Now what would you say, how would you react if an angel came and told you that? You know, I mean, she saw him and she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. And listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, eminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his forefather David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages. And of his reign there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I have had no intimacy with any man as a husband? And the angel said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the holy, pure, sinless thing, offspring, which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. Folks, we need to understand something. That principle applies every time someone receives Jesus Christ as Savior. The Holy Ghost is hovering, waiting for the moment. And a believer will walk up and share and lead someone in a confession of faith, and they receive Jesus Christ as Savior. It's the same thing. Now they become a holy, sinless thing, just like Jesus when he was born. And we have to understand that. That's why the Bible tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I like the translation that says he's a new creation altogether. That means there's never been a species like you on this planet before. Never. He said, and listen, in verse 36, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. This is the part that I like. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. So I don't care what's going on in your life. All you need is a word from God. And you just hold on to that word, knowing that since the word came from God, it is It shall not be without power, and it shall not be impossible to be fulfilled. You just have to hold on. Okay? Now, there is a way, something Pastor Clinton taught us years ago. There is a proper way to come into the world. Okay? He said, we're going to read the scripture in a minute about the door to the sheepfold. He said, the door to the sheepfold is human birth. And the reason that stuck is because the devil didn't come to this world through human birth. Remember, he fell like lightning. Okay? So he didn't have any legal right to be here. That's just where he happened to hit. it's like you stand on a chair and fall off. Well, you're gonna hit the floor. Why, that's what's there. So when he got expelled from heaven and fell, he hit the earth like a dart. Okay. But what we want to understand is because of that, he said, you can take your birth certificate and whip the devil. Just show him, I have a right to be here. I was born. I came through the door. I didn't come from some other way. Okay. I came right through the door. Jesus himself said, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So in order for God to give his gift so that it can accomplish his purpose, the gift had to be born in the earth. Unlike Adam and Eve, who were created from the earth. See, there was a difference there. Jesus had to be born because God knew that we needed to know that there is someone who's human, who's capable of feeling everything that we feel, who will do things God's way all the time. We needed to know that that can be done. See, one thing that was always critical for me is I needed to know something was possible. I didn't care what the task was. All I cared about is this possible? And if that answer was yes, then I went after it. Well, the only way I could find out if it was possible was, did anybody else ever do it? And yes, they did. Well, if they can do it, then I can do it also. And that's how I went through my life. When things happened and folks said, you can't do something, and I found out someone else did it, I beg your pardon, I can do it. That was before I knew I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Once I learned that, forget it, I was done. I was done. At the church, one of my first assignments was to convert classrooms. The church used to have a school, and when the school closed, I was moved over to facilities. And I said, all right, convert this section of classrooms into a banquet hall. And I respond the way I respond everything that the pastors then, Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, asked me to do. Okay. They'd say, go pray about it. And I'd say, why? God said he gave me pastors after his heart. His heart just said, do this work. Why do I have to go and pray about whether or not I'm going to be obedient to God's heart? So I just said, yes. Now, that may sound like a light thing, but here's the kicker. I knew nothing about construction. I knew what blueprints were, but I had never read a blueprint in my life. And now I have this task of converting some classrooms into a banquet hall. Guess what I need? Blueprints. Okay. I didn't know any construction terminology. None. I went and sat 3 hours at the building department so they could walk me through the steps, but I still didn't know. But I'm calling and I'm sitting with contractors and I hear myself having conversations with them using words that I don't know the meaning of. And they looked at me and they said, how do you know that? I said, well, let me explain it to you this way. We are a Bible-believing church. Anything I need to know, God's going to tell me. So you might as well be straight with me, because if you're not, God will let me know. Well, this particular contractor had someone that wasn't straight with us. And in this module, we call them quadrants, where the kitchen is down in the Nanuet Church, they needed to run some piping through. And they wanted to cut a trench the whole length of the quadrant. And I told them, I said, you don't have to do that. There's crawl space underneath. Just drill down, run the pipes, drill up. I came in the next day, and what do I see? A trench, the whole thing. This is what I heard myself say. You can't do that. You've compromised the integrity of this structure. Okay? I went back, I'm like, what am I talking about? You know? I said, don't do anything. What do you mean? I said, don't do any. I'm calling the building department. I called the building department, and the guy, Charlie, we became friends. He said, I'll be right over. I said, tell them not to do anything. I said, I already did. He said, I'll be right over. He looked at them. He looked at the hole, the trench, and he said, you can't do that. It compromises the integrity of the structure. See, he will give you everything you need. We just have to hold on to it and believe it. Okay? So Jesus said that I myself am the door for the sheep. We have the same principle. The door to this world is human birth. Jesus said he was the door to the sheep, meaning he was the way for us to be born again. See that? The only way you get into the kingdom is to be born again. And when Adam and Eve sinned, it had to be that we were on God's mind with, okay, this is how I'm going to get them back. Okay? Because he loved us. He wouldn't have created us if he loved. He would have left it with just all the animals. But the animals weren't in his image and in his likeness. And we are. We are. Okay. Jesus also said in verse 8, all others who came as such before me are thieves and robbers. I was thinking about that one also. What did he mean when he said as such? He was talking about the devil. The devil came, he usurped the authority, and now he wants to present himself as God. Like he's the one. Jesus said, I am the door, and anyone who enters in through me will be saved, will live. He will come in, and he will go out freely, and he will find pasture. Period. The good shepherd risks his life for the sheep. But a hireling, a hired servant who merely serves for wages or who's just out there to get something, the minute trouble comes, they're history. Okay? But in 2 Corinthians, this is where I wanted to go. Verse 9, chapter 9, verse 15. I'm going to read it in three different translations for you. It's just one sentence. Thank God for this gift, his gift. No language can praise it enough. The New Living Translation says, thank God for this gift too wonderful for words. And God's Words Translation says, I thank God for his gift that words cannot describe. I mean, that's the way I was when I looked at Ben Phyllis Gray. I couldn't, and by the way, what I didn't tell you is my brother was with me, and I forgot about it. I was in the flower shop for 3 hours. I forgot he was with me. But words could not describe. You know, have you ever done something, probably when we were children, you do something and your parent just looks at you and can't utter a word because it'll probably be the wrong thing and they just go, best they can get out is a, you know. Because what you did, they're like, no, Well, that's the way when I start thinking about everything, how my life has changed, I do. I just start, sometimes I'll just start weeping. I'll be sitting home, is one of my favorite programs growing up was The Adventures of Superman. And, you know, it comes on MeTV now. So I tape it and I was watching it. And I'm thinking, it doesn't mean the same to me. I'm like, this used to be good. What happened? It didn't change. I did. You know, and I'm thinking The Adventures of Superman. I'm thinking about Jesus. And one day I was sitting there thinking about it. Next thing I know, I feel these tears running down my face because I was just thinking about where I was before Christ as to where I am now in Christ. And it just came. I was glad I was by myself because I couldn't have said anything to anybody. My wife had come and said, honey, what's the matter? I would have been, it's okay. They say the old saints, they'd go there and they just go, you know, your name is, I mean, that's all you can get out because you become so full of everything that he's done. It's like when you look at something that's breathtaking, you can't articulate it right away. You just got to take it all in. And then over time, words can come. So what did it look like? It was just beautiful. I know, but what did you see? Oh, no, you have to be it. You have to see it to understand it. Well, just tell me about it. I'm trying, okay? But I really can't. God so loved us, he felt obligated to give us a gift that could never be topped. Never. And we will never receive a greater gift than receiving the word wrapped in flesh. I don't care what's on sale at Walmart. We will never get anything greater. See, James tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, wherein there's no variableness or neither shadow of turning. So the first thing we can understand that since he gave us the gift of Jesus, it had to be good and it had to be perfect. It had to be perfect. Because if it wasn't perfect, it wouldn't have come down. The Bible didn't say some gifts. He said every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God. So if it's not good and perfect, guess who it's not from? And we need to remember that in our relationships. If there's stuff going on that's not good and perfect, you may want to take some time in prayer and make sure that this person is from God, the God of the universe, not the God of this world. I use praying, make sure it comes from the God, not a God. Okay. The first thing we want to understand, as I said earlier, is that Jesus was perfect. Proverbs 18:16. This is out of the Living Bible. It says, a gift does wonders. It will bring you before men of importance. Gift does wonders. We have to let the gift do the wonders in our lives that he wants to do. We need to let him bring us before the people to whom he wants to bring us. He's going to bring us against people that we think we'll only see on television. Why? Because you've got what they need. Well, what is that, Pastor? Him. Him. See, he's not just the gift. But as Shirley Caesar said, he's the gift that keeps on giving. Keeps on. We're going to look at that in a few moments. Matter of fact, we're going to look at that now. That's where I am. In John 4, verse 9, it says that, remember when he met the Samaritan woman at the well? And the Jews usually have no dealings with Samaritans. But verse 9 says, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you the living water. So Jesus is our gift from God, but he keeps giving to us. He said, all you have to do is ask, and I'll give thee living water. Romans 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord, Jesus Christ, through the gift. Okay? Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He's still giving. Still giving. Much more now, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. How? Through him. Okay? For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, forgiveness. Okay? Also, it's a free gift. It says, for if though the offense of one man many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. So God gave the gift to us, and the gift just keeps giving and giving and giving. Romans 6. This is the easy-to-read version. King James, I believe, says the wages of sin is death. Verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23. This is what how the easy-to-read version puts it. When people sin, they earn what sin pays. Death. But God gives his people a free gift, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Message Bible, it puts it a funny way. Work hard for sin your whole life and your pension is death. Okay. That's what the Message Bible says. Work hard for sin your whole life and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus our Master. Ephesians 4. I like this. This says, and it's in the Message Bible, speaking of Jesus, it said, but that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift. The text for this is, he climbed the high mountain, he captured the enemy and seized the booty, means all of the spoils. He handed it all out in gifts to the people. Is it not true that the one who climbed up also climbed down to the valley of earth? And the one who climbed down is the one who climbed back up to the highest heaven. Listen to this part. He handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts, filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, teacher to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. Jesus is a gift. Not only that words cannot describe, but I say he just keeps giving and giving and giving. Like I told you in the beginning, it's not about what's underneath your tree. It's about his presence in you. And he keeps pouring new things into you every day, every moment of every day. Whatever you need, you can draw on what he has, and it will get you through. For God so loved the world that he gave. But think about this, because usually that scripture talks about he gave Jesus in death, but he didn't give him, if he never gave him in life, or I should say before he could give him in death, he had to give him in life first. He had to have a life. He had to prove to us that you can be a human being capable of sinning, but choosing not to sin. See, Jesus wasn't the first person that didn't have the sin nature. God didn't create Satan with the sin nature. He didn't create Adam and Eve with the sin nature, but they sinned. Jesus didn't have a sin nature, but he was capable of sinning. Well, how do you know? Because the Bible says he was tempted in all ways, just like we are, yet without sin. So that means there are things that he knew was wrong and he wanted to do them. But he said, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm not there with everything yet. There's some things I said, I know I shouldn't do this, but. That's what we'll say. I know I shouldn't eat this, but. I know, but. We have to think about it. Jesus was tempted to say, any way you could think about any temptation you've ever experienced, Jesus experienced the same thing. Yeah, he didn't sin. So that, remember I said before, all you have to know is it possible? Well, the gift proved it's possible. It's possible. Because to me, the acid test was in Gethsemane. When he voiced, he's like, look, Dad, if there's another way to do this, that's cool. Let this pass. But if not, your will be done, not my will. And it's important to understand what took place there, because something will come up, we'll say a prayer, and nothing changes. And we get discouraged. And we think, oh, this didn't work. And we may just throw in a towel right then. But Jesus, he prayed that prayer, he got up, and it's like, I still don't want to do this. So he went back again and prayed the same. He didn't change it. He prayed the same prayer. One translation says the sweat was like drops of blood. Boy, I can't imagine being in that much anguish, but he was. And he got up, and it's like, I still can't do this. But I have to do it. This is what Father wants me to do. So he went a third time. And I believe he would have gone as much as he could so that he could fulfill his purpose. And he gives us that same ability. Same ability. That's why it says you can do all things. That doesn't say, sometimes we think it says some things. But we can do all things. We had a young lady that was at Love Christian Academy, and she was diagnosed, she had an IEP, diagnosed with a learning challenge. I didn't know it. It wouldn't have made a difference to me if I did know it, but I didn't know it. And one morning, as we're pulling up, opened the door, let my wife get out of the car, because she taught second grade. And this person was screaming at me at the top of their lungs in the parking lot, "Mr. Carr, I want to see you, and I want to see you now." My helpmate said, "Okay, I'll see you later." Okay. And I'm like, okay. She said, "I want to see you, then I'm going to see the superintendent, and then I'm going to the pastors." I'm like, "Why are you so upset? What's?" She said, "I want to see you." And I said, "Okay, come on in." My husband was with her, but he wasn't saying anything. They came into my office, said, "Would you like some herb tea?" You know, she's like, "Herb tea? No." I said, "Ma'am, why are you so angry? What's the matter? Why is my child afraid of you?" I said, "I wasn't aware that she was." "What makes you think she's afraid of me?" She said she couldn't come to school unless she did your homework assignment. I'm like, okay. I'm like, isn't that a good thing? You know? She said, "Well, you know she's challenged." I'm like, "What do you mean?" "She has a learning challenge." "No, I didn't know that." "Well, you should know that." I said, "Why?" "Because you should know you shouldn't expect her to do the same thing. I shouldn't expect her to do the same work as everyone else." I said, "I apologize. I thought she could do all things through Christ who strengthens her." I said, "And that's what I told her." And she said, "Well, she was up till 12:30 during her assignment." I said, "Well, let me understand. Is she aware of this diagnosis?" "Yes." "And she didn't want to use that as an excuse to keep from doing work?" "Yes." I said, "Ma'am, isn't that a good thing?" She was like, and she was unspeakable. She realized what she had. And she said, "But I had to stay up with her." I said, "Okay, now we're getting to the real crux of the issue here." I said, "Why did you have to stay up with her?" And she just looked at me. I said, "Did she say she needed help?" "No." "Did she ask for your help?" "No." "Why didn't you go to bed?" "Why didn't you go to bed?" So I believe, with no shadow of, no doubt whatsoever, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's part of the gift. We have to just know that regardless of what we come up against. And I don't care what it is. All we need is a word from God, because no word from God is without power or impossible of fulfillment. Let me end with this. I'm almost done. I look up gifts. And when I went to dictionary.com, one of my resources, and it said, "Do you give gifts or presents?" And I said, "I thought they were the same thing, you know, but let me read this and see." This comparison, and it went on to talk about the origin of words. You know, gift was first used in talking about payment for a wife. You know, and then they call it a dowry. But then there was one comparison made by this gentleman named Pavan Sani, who's just an ordinary person that, you know, when you put blogs out, folks can respond and say what they think. And he wrote something, and I said, "Now this is interesting, because I believe it'll magnify why Jesus is the unspeakable gift." He said, "Gifts are given from higher hierarchy to lower one, and are not expected to get anything back in return, while a present is exchanged in equal levels." Yeah, see, when you think about that, you're like, yeah, I can see that. Based on that comparison, God gave us Jesus as a gift, not as a present. Okay? Now, you could say, when Mary gave birth, she presented the gift. She presented him. And that gift keeps on giving, and it gives eternal light. Life, not lights. Isaiah 9, we're going to end with this. This is out of the Voice translation. So where do you get all those translations? I go to BibleGateway.com. They're always adding different Bibles on. Verses 6 to 7. Hope of all hopes, dream of our dreams. A child is born, sweet breath, a son is given to us, a living gift. And even now, with tiny features and dewy hair, he is great. The power of leadership and the weight of authority will rest on his shoulders. His name we'll know in many ways. He will be called Wonderful. He will be called Counselor. He will be called Mighty God. He will be called Everlasting Father. He will be called Ever-Present, Never-Failing, Master of Wholeness, Prince of Peace. I like that. Can I read that part again? I just like reading it. Okay. He will be called Wonderful. He will be called Counselor. He will be called Mighty God. Dear Father, Everlasting, Ever-Present, Never-Failing, Master of Wholeness, Prince of Peace. His leadership will bring such prosperity as you've never seen before. Sustainable peace for all time. This child, God's promise to David, a throne forever among us to restore sound leadership, to restore sound leadership that cannot be perverted or shaken. He will ensure justice without fail and absolute equity always. The intense passion of the eternal commander of heavenly armies will carry this to completion. See, don't mean to get social on you folks, but no, hands up, I can't breathe. No, hands up, I'm gonna shout out praises to the Lord for his unspeakable gift. Because this verse said that he's gonna bring sustainable peace. He's gonna restore sound leadership that cannot be shaken. This was saying no justice, no peace. He said this, he will ensure justice without fail and absolute equity. Absolute equity. See, we get involved in the wrong things here. So we need to recognize that Jesus is a gift. He's the unspeakable gift, and he just keeps on giving, and he's the answer to anything that's going wrong in this world today. Amen? Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time of the year when we get to celebrate the birth of your Son and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that all of the people will understand and begin to appreciate just what they received when Jesus was born. We thank you, Lord, that everyone here has a better understanding and will know what you want them to do with the gift that you felt obligated to give because of your great love for us. And Lord, as we read in the beginning, may we continue to show love to one another so that all the world will know that you have disciples out there and they'll trust us. They'll trust the love that they see in us. And once they start trusting us, they'll listen to what we say. Thank you, Father, that this whole world is in your hands, but you've given us the ability to reshape it by putting your words in our mouths. Thank you, Lord. And happy birthday, Jesus. In Jesus' name, Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.